true. And we need to do that in the last days. We need to all have our Bible and read it on a daily basis because, as we read and heard last week, Jesus is the living Word. So if we want to get close to Jesus, we have to get close to His Word. And I know you all know that, but I'm excited today about having the Word of God. If you have your Bible, it may be on a phone, it may be in front of you. If you're raise it up in the air and say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
The Bible is God's Word.
The Bible is God's Word.
The Bible is God's Word speaking to me.
God
I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can be what it says I can be.
I can
go where it says I can go.
I can go where it says I can
today I'll be taught the Word of God.
My
mind is alert.
My mind is
awake.
My body is awake.
Now when I leave here the same.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Tap somebody with your phone or your Bible. All right. If you're familiar with the story, we're going to talk this morning you might say this is the launching pad for the woman with the issue of blood. You're all familiar with the woman with the issue of blood in the Gospels. From taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. We're familiar with this story. If you're not, it's a very simple story. It's a woman who had an issue, the Bible says, of blood. She had a disease. She had something that caused a flow of blood for 12 years. Think about that. For 12 years, she had this issue. You know, we know people, don't we, in our family or in our acquaintances that have been having and suffering with a disease for a long time. And they're tired. And they've been to many doctors. They've spent all they had. Just like this woman, she'd been to all the physicians. She spent all she had. And get this, she was not any better, but she grew worse. So that's even worse, isn't it? She spent all she had, so here she was, and she came to Jesus. But we want to understand this. She came to Jesus because she had heard testimonies about Him. She'd heard other people with testimonies of healing. You know, that will draw you to Jesus when you've heard other people that have been healed. You've heard about other people that have received a miracle.
That's right.
And many times that will spur something in you, like an inquisitiveness, like, oh, I'm curious about that. Somebody else got healed of cancer. Maybe I can be healed too.
Yes.
I'm standing up here right now. I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I'm healed.
Amen.
I was diagnosed and I was given a bad report. But I prayed and the Lord told me to get a second opinion. And that's always a good thing. And I know we have a lot of nurses in here. We have physicians maybe. But it's always good to get a second opinion. And I got an opinion from the Lord, and I got a second opinion, and they looked at it again after prayer, and they said, it's all gone. There's nothing there. There's nothing to be concerned about. And in fact, the neurologist shook my hand. My congratulations. You're not going to die. You're going to live and not die. And that's my word for you this morning. Whether you've been given a bad report, whatever the doctor said, whatever anybody else has said, you're going to live, and you're not going to die. You will live and not die. You will live long and finish strong. Right? That's a good confession. We believe in professing the Word of God. It's good to get up in the morning and say, I will live long and finish strong.
Yes.
Right? So yes. We have to realize that this woman, I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. So it's going to be a little bit louder than King James. Just make sure you're awake. I'd like to inject a little humor. It says this, Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressing him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. And suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned about immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, listen, your faith Your trust and confidence in me, springing forth from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in peace and be continually healed and free from your distressing bodily disease. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? This woman, now, I did a little studying, and I looked up the, I did some studying in the Hebrew Research Center. It's always good to kind of go back and research the, you know, in the day and time they lived in, many of you probably realize this, but it was customary for the Jewish men to wear like a prayer cloth. And in their clothes, they would have at the bottom of their clothes what's called tassels. In Hebrew, it's another word, but tassels. There were four tassels, each at the corners of their garment. And what really happened was this woman reached out and she touched, when the Bible says the hem of his garment, actually is referring to the tassel on his garment. Some of you, you know, you can study this and look up in the Hebrew Center for Research. It's so amazing because the tassels represented the Word of God. They contained the commandments of God, the things that God had blessed them with, and it contained truly the Word of God. So they were caring about the Word of God wherever they went on these tassels. So this woman, she reached out, not just touched just any part, but she touched the hem or the tassels, and probably just one tassel on his garment. And when the Bible says she touched, in the Greek, the word touch means to make connection.
Yes.
To make connection. Remember that. So the woman with issue of blood, she saw that the word of God was coming right by her, that it said, I'm sure Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. And she reached out and she got connection. Some of you this morning, you're gonna get connection with the Word of God. Make connection with the Word. When you hang on, don't let go.
Amen.
When you hear a word from God for you, hang on and don't let go.
Yes.
There's faith in this room right now.
Yes.
There's faith in this room, and there's faith rising up on the inside of you that whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever issue it is that you have, it can be changed. It can be different than it was yesterday. It can be changed.
Yes.
This woman had suffered for all these years. She wanted something different. She wanted something that was good. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was right there in front of her. And I love this. When he realized that virtue had gone out of him, remember, it wasn't his faith. It was her faith.
Yes.
It was her faith. All of you in here this morning have a measure of faith. And it's your faith that will draw the virtue of Jesus, his healing power, into your body.
Yeah.
And that's what will really change your body. You can actually hear me teaching and preaching the Word of God, and God can do something in your body right now.
Yes.
You can begin to feel that you're healed. You can begin to make connection with the Word of God wherever you're at, and symptoms can begin to leave. Amen.
Amen.
Things that you came in with and suffering with, they can leave. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Jesus is here this morning through the preaching and teaching of his word, and you all brought him in with you this morning. We are the body of Christ. We are the body. He is the head, but we are the fullness of his body right now.
Amen.
Right here, gathered together, we are his body.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we need to understand that she touched the hem of his garment. And we're going to go through this, as it says in verse 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now the three things that, very simple when I teach, the three things I want you to understand about the faith that she reached out for her healing was, she first prayed, then she believed, and then she received. But when she prayed, the Bible says, you know, prayer is saying something. A lot of times we have to understand that our words are very important.
Yes.
In fact, the Bible says that death and life are the power of our tongue.
Yes.
Our words are very important. Your words can draw you to the healing power of Jesus, and your words can push away the blessings of God. But you know, our words are very important.
Yes.
You know, I always tell people, you know, my age, if you get up in years, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, you don't have to be conformed to the world. Don't get up and say, oh, I might as well just be put out to pasture. I'm 75 years old, and I have no good to society. I might as well just get in a wheelchair and just wheel in the corner and drool. No! Definitely not. Don't do that. No, today knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but draw close to Him. Pass through the throngs of people. Pass through the throngs of doubt and unbelief. There's a whole world out there today that are totally in disbelief, and they're sad, and they're mad, and they're just hungry for truth.
Yes.
And Jesus is the truth.
Yes.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
It's Jesus,
yes,
and only Him,
yes,
that can bring,
yes,
true peace in our lives. We can know Him in a personal way. So the Bible says, it says that she kept saying, the Amplified Bible in this verse, it says, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind Him in the throng and touched His garment. For, this is good, she kept saying. The Amplified Bible says she kept saying. She kept saying. So this thing about saying and the power of our words, we have to be consistent in what we say.
Yes.
We have to, over and over again, every morning say, I'm healed.
Yes.
I get up in the morning all the time, and I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I say, I thank you, Lord, for a sound mind. Because the Bible says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 1. I have scripture and verse for all of this. Say, we need to understand that God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan.
Amen.
He wants good for you, not evil. He wants good for you. The world out there, if you just spend 1 hour out there, they'll pick your fruit.
Right.
They will pick the fruit off of you.
Yes.
Any low-hanging fruit, oh, you got some love, I'll take that. You got some joy? No, I want that, I'll take that. And pretty soon, if you're in the world all the time, you begin to be a barren, dried up tree or a branch. So you got to get back and grafted in the vine. Jesus is the vine.
Yes.
And we are His branches. So we have to abide in the vine. And what does that mean? Abiding in the Word.
Yes.
Staying in the Word.
Yes.
Always get your eyes in the Word sometime during the day to remind you that it's Jesus. He's the vine. We are the branches.
Yes.
And the branches bear that fruit.
Yes.
And we're all about bearing fruit here. And here's a promise. Bringing forth fruit unto God. Giving Him the glory for our fruit that we have. There are people here right now, you may be sitting next to, that have been healed of sicknesses and disease. There are people right here in this morning that have been given a bad report from a doctor. There are people here sitting right next to you that the doctor said they have a mass on their body and it's so huge that we cannot take it out. Something's going to have to be done, and it has shrunk because of prayer, because of faith, because of believing God that He's a good God. And we know this, that the name of Jesus is above every name.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is above cancer. The name of Jesus is above psychosis. The name of Jesus is above depression. The name of Jesus is above any name that is named. We have a name that's above every name. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says that faith, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important to come to church.
Yes.
Important to come to this church because you're always going to be hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
You're not going to be hearing stories, anecdotes. You're not going to be hearing about comic strips or the headlines in the world because, you know, you're going to find that out all the time. But in church, you need to be hearing the Word.
Amen.
Hearing the Word over and over and over again. By His stripes, you were healed. Healing is a good thing. You can be healed.
Yes.
You can be healed today.
Yes.
You can be sitting here today.
Yes.
And you can,
yes,
begin to feel healing, virtue. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions and their distresses. So you can actually feel the healing virtue. The Bible says that His word is medicine.
Yes.
It's health to our flesh. It's medicine.
Thank you.
So what do I say? Take your gospels every day. Take your gospels on a regular basis. That's what a doctor will do. He'll say, now take this pill, but take it regularly on a consistent basis, and it will bring a change to your life. Now, we're not against doctors. Thank God for them. We're not against nurses. Thank God for them. We're not against medication. Thank God for them. But we need to know Jesus is the healer.
Yes.
He is the healer. He's the healer, and He's the healer of all doctors and nurses. He's the healer of all that we know, of all medicine. Guess what? They've just found out, the AMA have found out that laughter does good.
Yes.
Like a medicine.
Yes.
How about that?
Amen.
They found out people actually start getting better and healed by just laughing and being joyful. Because, you know, endorphins and norepinephrine and all the chemicals that begin to be released, you know. And you know, don't you love this when you tell somebody, well, I feel kind of depressed. And they say, well, go jog. Don't run, right? You don't want to hear that. But, you know, exercise will begin to, you know, excrete that norepinephrine. I'm not a doctor, but you know what I'm talking about. You'll start to, but you can even feel better when you're in the Word of God. Get your eyes on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by just having heard once. It comes by hearing and hearing. Because see, what's happening when you're heirs of promise, you're going to be hearing the same thing over and over again. You're going to be hearing the Word of God, and your mind is going to start to be transformed. It's going to be renewed with the Word. See, when you're born again, your spirit's born again, but we have to do something with our thinking, right?
Yes.
Be renewed with the Word of God. Begin to see how God thinks about you. How does God think about your situation?
Yes.
The world is so negative. The devil is out there as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he acts like he's a roaring lion. He seeks about whom he can try to destroy and kill and destroy. But, you know, Jesus said, I'm coming. You might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so Proverbs 18:21 says this. We're still talking about our words and saying this woman, she kept saying, if I could just touch the tassels, I shall be healed. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. Isn't that powerful? I remember one time we had a visitor, they came in here, or they'd been coming for a while, and they just couldn't catch on to what this meant about our words, you know, and our death and life and power of the tongue. And we came up to her and said, how are you doing today? And she said, great. Isn't that what I'm supposed to say? Right? Well, come on. You know, listen, we're not just trying to be, you know, gloss things over. Everybody, we have issues, right? Sure. But you can choose to not dwell on whatever you're dealing with and start seeing how good God is. Start seeing how big God is. That He is our healer. He's our healer. He's my healer. Amen? He's your healer.
Amen.
He's alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, I remember when I was 1979, when Jesus Christ came into my heart in that hospital room in 1979 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, St. Luke's Hospital, after I'd come out of surgery for a perfed colon, and I was on the deathbed, and I woke up, and I went down to this chapel, and I stood there in this room, and I still sense His presence right here, right this morning.
Yes.
And He was right there in front of me. I'd lost everything. I had nothing really to live for. I'd been through a near-death experience, and He came to me as clear as anything, and just His love emanated from Him to me. And He loved me despite of whatever I had done. He loves you despite
yes.
whatever you have done.
Yes, right.
He loves you. He accepts you as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed your transgressions from you.
Yes.
As far as God's concerned, you are clean. You are forgiven
Amen.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And when I said yes to Him, I felt this overwhelming presence come into my life. See, He will come into your heart if you ask Him.
Yes.
If you come and you say, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, be my Lord, my Savior, He will.
Yes.
And it will change your life. It literally changed my life. People say, why are you doing what you're doing? Why aren't you a doctor, lawyer, surgeon? Why aren't you a, you know, haul trash or whatever it is? And believe me, I've done a lot of things. I've done numerous things, but nothing brings me more joy than preaching the good news.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is what we need to hear today. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. This woman had to believe. And let's look at this. It says in Mark 11:24, to believe, the world says seeing is believing, but we say believing is seeing. There's a big difference. Believing is seeing. And it says in Mark 11:24, therefore Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe that you shall receive them. I came out of a Bible school that the teacher, Kenneth E. Hagin, would say this over and over again, and he had seen the revelation of this, and I had heard it over and over again, but I never really made connection. Like the woman with the tassel. I never grabbed onto it and made it my own. See, you got to make the word your own. It's got to be personal to you. It's got to be something that you know, that you know, that you know, and nobody can take it from you. You got to know that it's from you, for you, from Jesus. And if the world says that seeing is believing, and we say that believing is seeing, look at it this way. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe or see that you receive them, and you shall have them. That changes everything, doesn't it? We believe, we receive. For example, if you're in here this morning, you're believing for your healing, you can believe or see that you're healed. Praise God, you have the vision. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Now, you may not look any different. Things may not look like they're changed, but it says that you shall have them. There is a time period where you've got to just trust God that it's happening. It's happening. Right? Like seed time and harvest. Believe that you shall receive them. You shall receive them. But believing is seeing. And Jesus said in Mark 11, or 9:23, he said, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen?
Yes, amen.
When we started our church back in 25 years ago, 24, we were in the movie theater in Largo at the Regal movie theater. We met in a movie theater before the movies came on. It's a great place, actually. You could fall asleep in the back, but nobody fell asleep. Somebody said, well, how do you do it? Well, by faith. You rent a hall, you rent a room, and you advertise it. That's all we did. And we never once had nobody. There was always somebody that would come in. But I would be preaching the gospel, you know, and that was when Harry Potter was real big, the series. And I was preaching the gospel. We'd been there for a year, and all of a sudden, I say this, that favor kind of ran out because they started playing the movies before we were done. It was kind of their way of saying, you know. So I'd be preaching the gospel, and people would come in with popcorn, and I'd be preaching, and they'd go, what is this? What kind of movie is this? And they'd turn and look, because they were in there to hear Harry Potter. But I'm telling you, there's something better than Harry Potter.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Him alone.
Amen.
But we went there, and my point was, we had to believe that God had called us to start a church. And we did. And we've had many ups and downs and many trials and many giants and many things that have tried to get us to quit. But we just won't quit.
Amen.
We will not quit. Why? We hang on to what God said. His word said, start a church in the Largo Seminole area. Teach my people who they are in me. Their victory and their spiritual authority. Teach them who they are, what they have, and where they are seated.
Yes.
And I've heard that still small voice all these years after that. That's what keeps me going. That's the rock that I stand on. It's His word. It's His word. So if God tells you something, know that you can stand on it. You can stand on it by faith. So she not only believed, but she saw. Think about it. Before she got to Him, before she touched Him, she kept saying, I'm going to get healed. That's what she did. She kept saying, she pressed through all the people, hey, daughter, get away from that. Don't you see that he's being thrown by people? You can't do that. But she was not deterred. She got through. Who knows? Maybe she pushed people out of the way. You know, I'm not going to let anybody get in my way from getting my healing. I am going to get it. She kept saying, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. So faith was rising up. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, oh, boy. Just, I want prayer because I'm going to be healed. Maybe don't feel like, oh, what's anybody going to say? That's a tool of the enemy. Don't think, oh, what are people going to think of me? Don't think about that. If that woman would have thought about that, she never would have got to Jesus. But she pressed through. She pressed through the throngs of people. And she kept saying, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. And the moment she touched that tassel, she was healed. And the Bible says she felt in her body that she's healed. It's okay. Feelings are okay. I've been sick and I've been on the deathbed and I've been healed and healing feels better. Healing feels better. Amen, Jimmy? Healing is better. And you are the healed of the Lord. Healing is a lot better. And I tell you, I've been down, but I know that God brings us up.
Amen.
This woman had a vision for her healing. You know, vision is a very important thing. Vision keeps you going. Many of you here this morning, you may have had a vision years ago of doing something. Maybe of getting a house or relocating or doing something. You had a vision. You had a, the word vision is very interesting. It's called a mental sight. And this is what Habakkuk says. It's very clear. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And the Lord answered me and said," here it is, "write the vision." Write the vision. The word vision there is mental sight. And it says, "Make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time." See there? "But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Doesn't that have faith rise up on the inside of you? Whatever God said, think about this. It's coming. It's coming. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. It's coming. Maybe some of you here, you're believing for a mate. You're believing for a companion. I waited until I was, 50? 40? Right now. So long ago. 40? And I waited a long time. And I wanted to be married when I was in my 20s. But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. But you know what? God's best came to me. Yes. The very best. You got to wait for God's best. Always wait for God's best. And I won't talk about how we met or anything, because my wife says it changes every time. It gets more and more filled with fluff and everything, but it was a glorious time. But my point was, I wonder, where am I going here with this? I would, when I was single, I would drive in my car, and I was traveling, and I would go up and down the highways, and I got a hold of something. Young E. Cho, in his book, talked about this too. Get a mental vision of what God has promised you and act like you have it. Believe you receive it. And I look over to the side and say, "Honey," remember, there's nobody next to me. "Honey, where's my tie? What tie should I wear today? Or honey, can you, honey, and you know what? I would speak to that empty chair. Speak to that empty chair. The woman was speaking to a body that was racked with pain. But she believed. And you know, all those times up and down the road, I would speak to that empty chair. People would look at me, they'd drive by, and they'd, "Boy, this guy's crazy. He's peculiar." Well, we are peculiar. But I wouldn't let go. I just would not let go. People say, "Oh, you're too old, you'll never get married." It's never too late.
That's right.
You're never too late to receive the blessings of God. Yeah. And then that glorious day when I met her, oh, what a day of rejoicing it was. Praise God. Amen. And now I don't have to talk to an empty chair anymore. But I'm still saying, "Honey, where's my tie? Where's that?" And now my son is saying that. "Honey, Mommy, where's my tie? Where's that?" But what I want to say this morning is, and this may spark something you remember today, keep the switch of faith turned on.
Yes. Yes.
You know what that means?
Yes.
When you're believing God for something, don't let that faith, don't let that light and that believing go out. Keep the switch of faith turned on. That means keep the light of God's word on that promise.
Amen.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the lights on. Don't let the devil or people turn the lights off, because you'll be in the dark. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
This woman had an issue for 12 years. And I'm sure her family, maybe she had family members that tried to keep her home, but she was determined to get to Jesus.
Yes.
Because she heard that he was healing people. And finally, having this faith that we keep the switch of faith turned on, it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know, here it is, that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, faith is believing that you receive, even though you can't see it right now. You believe, and you see it by faith, and you know it's going to come to pass, right? You know it will come to pass. It's a life of faith. It's exciting, but we can keep the switch of faith turned on. And you'll be around people here at this church, and we will help you keep the switch of faith turned on. We'll keep, we'll, you know,
yes.
we'll, We'll do whatever we can to help you keep that switch of faith turned on. We're always going to be with you. We're going to build you up. The world will tear you down, but we will build you up. We believe that God is a good God. God is not up there with a pogo stick, with a long white beard. Oh, he's not playing whack-a-mole. He's not playing whack-a-mole. I thought God was an old man with a beard ready to pop me on the head whenever I did something wrong. No! No! God is a good God. He's not playing whack-a-mole. But he's a good God. He loves you so much that he's here today. And he wants you to come to him by faith. So if you're here today, this morning, and I want us all to stand up, because that's all I have for the teaching. But I like what Jesus, he always taught, and then he was always ready after he taught for people to come.